kind of a calm intro for our next guest, too, because he's very excitable. Mr. Michael Collins of ESPN. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I got a question for you right out of the box. Any airlines lost your luggage recently?
I get asked that question more often when I travel now. Anytime I get somewhere, people are like, hey, you got your luggage? And the irony of that whole situation that happened with British Airways was the bag that they lost and the bag they were going to let just go into the vortex was a carry-on. That's why I lost my mind over it. It's because they forced me to give them my carry-on, which would have fit in an overhead. It was a huge jet that we were on, not one of these little regional ones, from Scotland to London. And they were like, yeah, no, you can't bring that on. Yeah, I can. She's not, we'll check it through. Okay.
Gone.
Well, it was Kaiser Soze's bag. That's what it was.
How long did it take to find?
Let me think. I got home. I left on Monday and then didn't get the bag again until Friday. And for 2 days, from the Monday when I got home, and Tuesday and Wednesday, they didn't know where the bag was.
Hold on.
So there was no record of it. And the best part was they were trying to pawn it off on, at the time, U.S. Airways. And they were saying, oh, you know, it's not our responsibility. It's on U.S. Airways. And I was standing at the counter with U.S. Airways trying to explain to someone over the phone, because they were saying, oh, well, U.S. Airways is responsible. And U.S. Airways says, well, we don't have a tracking number on the bag. So how do we track a lost bag without a tracking number? and we never received it. So you want us to look for a bag that we never got?
Well, I know we should probably be talking about golf here, but now I'm fascinated. Was this one where they took the bag from you at the gate?
Yes. Yes.
Or were you already boarding?
Right before I was getting on
the jetway.
Like, literally, I had already gone through security, had already gone through, like,
You had given them your ticket.
TSA. Yeah. Like, I had already given them.
This is at the door to the airplane.
Two bags that I checked at the counter. And I went through security, and then right before I walked onto the airplane.
You left it in that area.
The lady, the woman there said, no, you can't take that on the plane. It won't fit. And I laughed and was like, yeah, I can, and it will fit. And she, no, it won't. And I was like, well, this isn't even a regional jet. She goes, sir, I'm sorry. We're not going to be able to take that on. And I laughed and said to her, do I need to take a picture of you in this bag because now you're responsible for it? Like, if something happens, and she goes, that's no worry.
Yeah, because a bag that is never further than 5 feet from the actual plane shouldn't get lost.
No.
Yeah, that was the whole irony of it. And the funny thing was then when this happened to me, and I started putting it out there on Twitter. Like, as soon as the excuses rolled in, it's funny how it works on Twitter, is that, like, when you put something out on Twitter, then you get a message back from their social media people saying, hey, I'm really sorry that this is happening to you. Follow us so we can send you a direct message. And what they're trying to do is what we want to do is take this conversation off of the public eye. We don't want the public to see what's really happening. Now, in most cases, like when I've had stuff bad happen to me on U.S. Airways or on Delta or other airlines that I've flown, they've always been really helpful. United, all of them, they were really helpful. Even if things ended up bad, United might have been the only other airline that I had a really bad experience on. And then, again, my whole thing is, well, what's your repercussion? What's the punishment for you not? And mine is public shaming. I'm going to publicly shame you.
Yeah, because you can't do much else.
Doing the right thing.
Right.
And if you don't do the right thing, then we're not. And that's what happened with British Airways. They go, hey, DM us. Okay, cool. So then they start saying all this stuff and making all these excuses up. And then I went public again. And that's when they were like, hey, why don't you DM us? And I was like, hey, no. I want everyone to see exactly what you're doing.
Exactly.
We're not doing this in private anymore. You had that chance, and you let that chance go. And the best part was I got a phone call on my cell phone from British Airways, their social media customer service, their social media. I never gave them my cell number.
Oh no.
Yeah, how about that?
That's scary.
I don't even know if it's still there, but I mean, because I didn't take anything down, but they gave, here's this 800 number, call this. I put the 800 number up because it was funny. Let's just say in the 800 number that they gave me, the accent in the recording was not the same accent as the live person.
Yeah.
That came on.
All right, well, let's talk some golf. We had a
cool.
We could talk baggage all day.
We had Mike and I had a question earlier, and here it is. Can any of the other top 10 ranked players in the world dethrone one of the top three in the rankings in 2016? So can any of the 4 through 10 jump up and play good enough and win golf tournaments and top 10s to move in front of either Spieth, Day, or McIlroy?
No.
Okay, next question.
Sorry. Well, the thing is, those are the three. You have three things that happen with those three guys right there. So all three of them are major champions. All three of them still haven't reached their full potential. Like, when you think about it, Rory McIlroy is number two in the world, and he was hurt all of last year. So now he's coming back healthy, and he's thinking to himself, who do you think you are taking my title? And I didn't even get to do much last year because I was hurt, right? I ain't playing soccer anymore, so now it's on like Donkey Kong. And Jason Day, now that he's won the first major, the only thing I fear for with Jason is that he goes overboard. Like, he's really getting into this, you know, transform my body and getting crazy healthy and stuff like that. And there's a danger in doing that, in that if you go overboard, you can go into the David Duval syndrome. And that is, then your golf swing changes because your body has changed, and then other bad things start happening too. With David Duval, he got vertigo after he got really – remember he went like workout crazy and got crazy fit and all that stuff, then ended up getting vertigo and was never the same again after getting to number one in the world. And that's my fear for Jason Day, that he goes overboard and something not good happens to him there. But if he can kind of hold his path, expect that he's going to contend in more majors this year. I think he'll be in the mix in all of them again. Jordan Spieth, everyone kind of thought, he's going to have a little bit of a letdown. But that's not the kind of guy he is. Imagine if you put Jordan Spieth in basketball terms, Jordan Spieth is the San Antonio Spurs of the PGA Tour right now.
Steady.
Everybody says they're not afraid of him until they play him, and at the end of the third quarter, they're losing by 20, and they don't understand why or how.
That's great. I love that.
Now, Michael, do you, just in a bigger picture look at the world golf rankings, do you like the way they're formulated? I mean, are there still flaws in it?
The rankings is so stupid. Like, I don't put any juice in that whatsoever. Because here's the thing. The World Golf Rankings talks about the dudes and what they've done over 2 years. Well, guess what? We don't live in a society that does that. We live in a society as who's the best right now. Who's the best right now? Now, it works out right now that the three guys at the top, yes, they are the best three golfers right now. But that's just because of everything that they've done recently, and it's a testament of how much of a steady ascent that they have had there. So, I mean, their progression has been very steady and very good. But when you get a guy like, say, Patrick Reed or Jimmy Walker, who got really hot at one point of the year, and one guy won four tournaments in 9 months, and another guy wins three tournaments in 4 months. Like when guys like that get really hot and you go, hey, is this guy one of the best in the world? Heck yeah, he's one of the best in the world right now. So when people go, oh, the world golf rankings, it's a fair assessment. No, really, it's not. It's a way to look back at who has had a steady ascension. And can they, if they don't stay up there, like Rory, number one, number two, when he was up near there, he wasn't even playing.
Right.
And my whole, the other big thing that I hate about this system that I really don't like is that some guys, if you can move up when you don't play, I call bull. Like it smells a little stinky right there. Something stinky. Like if you start moving up in the polls when you don't do anything, yeah, okay. I need you to pee in this cup and go to HR because something ain't right.
All right, so when we look at the four majors in 2016, if I give you the option of Spieth, McIlroy, and Jason Day or the field, is there any one of those majors that you're not taking one of those three?
Nope. Nah, that's all right. If I got to put money on it, if you're sending me to Vegas with $50, if it's my last $50, I'm going to bet on one of those three guys. In our ESPN.com, we did a kind of predictions for the year. It was a unanimous about Rory McIlroy winning player of the year. And I think, for me, I think he's going to complete the Grand Slam this year at the Masters, but I think if maybe at the PGA Championship, that's usually the tournament where an unknown guy kind of sticks his head up and looks around a little bit and can maybe make a move. But in a year like this, if these three guys all stay healthy, and this has now been the MO for golf. Is the only if is if everyone stays healthy. Mm-hmm. If all these three dudes stay healthy throughout the year, then you're going to – maybe Ricky Fowler or Dustin Johnson is going to take a peek at a major again. I think Ricky's got the – is the one guy who I think he's going to get a major this year. But if I had to bet money against – the field, or and you giving me the top three guys, you give me them.
All right. Well, you got three dudes in four events. Who wins two?
Rory.
Okay.
See,
I think Rory's winning two. Jason's winning one, and Spieth is winning one.
Mm.
I think Rory wins the Masters and the PGA Championship. Jordan wins the Open Championship, and Jason wins the U.S. Open.
Wow. See, I was of the opinion that Jason Day is just going to go ahead and win the Masters. That way, McIlroy have won two, Spieth would have won two, and Day would win two all consecutively. How fun is that?
Now, that would be wild if Jason wins the Masters, and I think he'll contend there. But I think this is McIlroy's year, kind of, especially when it comes to that event, because he's had so much success there. Well, not so much. He's had success there in the past, and then in recent years, it's kind of again started building because I think he's finally, even though publicly he said, I let go of 2010 right away and win the U.S. Open right after that. I think in reality that didn't happen when he showed back up there. I think there were still some scars, but I think that is finally gone now. So, I mean, the scariest thing is going to be, so Jordan won the first two and everyone was kind of in the mix coming down the stretch at the Open at St. Andrews. Then Jason wins the PGA Championship, and it's like, oh, here we go. Ricky wins an event for the FedEx Cup Playoffs at Deutsche Bank. And now the anticipation of these guys is almost too great. Because if you remember a few years ago, Tiger was playing good, Phil had won Houston, and Adam Scott was playing good. Rory had just started to come on, and everyone was like, this could be the greatest Masters ever. And they got there, and all of them sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing about golf. Unlike football, when it's like, all right, you know what? If the quarterback's not playing great, the running back can still have 200 yards and stuff. In individual sports, like, they can all show up there and be like, wah, wah.
Well, another question we were talking about earlier in the show is for everybody, the season starts at different times. I've been wildly critical of the crap around season. I just don't like it. For me, you know, I grew up in New England in the snow. I used to love these weeks in Hawaii because we were, you know, snow up to our waists. It was like weather porn to sit in TV and watch these guys play in Hawaii. And it always just seemed like, okay, that's when the season begins. Now we're being told it begins back in October, November, and it starts up again and whatever. If you don't buy into that, then they want to tell you that it begins now with the Tournament of Champions. When for you does the 2016 PGA season begin?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Is it next week because it's the first full field event of the calendar year? I mean, when does it begin?
No.
Is it California?
No.
Or you know?
No, because, and here's the thing. So, and oh, man.
Go on.
Get me in trouble.
Yes.
But see, here's the thing. Like, are you all in on golf right now?
No.
No.
So then,
I wouldn't be on this show right now if I didn't have an obligation.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, we all work in the golf media business, but are you truly, as a fan, and this is how, like, yes, I work in golf. It's like saying, like, when you go to work on Monday, are you all in at work on Monday? Nah, you might be getting all in at work depending on what you got going on. You kind of get all in on Wednesday.
Right.
And then you crush it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Half of Friday.
Is the Monday of golf.
Right. No, absolutely.
We're still in Monday. So, like, I'm not all in yet. I start going, like, I go really all in probably just in the lead up to the Masters.
Yep.
You know?
I go all in Florida.
You know what? Phoenix.
Oh.
Phoenix is when I start going all in because I always try and make sure I go to that tournament. And the vibe that you get when you walk around that 16th hole, and that's when guys are starting to talk about, like, hey, we got to get ready for the Florida swing. And so, like, that's when things really start ramping up. You see guys right before they go to the East Coast, like, there's caddy changes that start happening and stuff. And that's, like, when you're getting into the first turn of a NASCAR event. Like, that's when some banging around starts happening. You're like, all right, now we're racing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Well, Michael, we're up against it. We appreciate you hopping on with us. Maybe we'll check in with you about that time when the season really starts.
Yeah, you don't have to wait that long.
All right.
I mean, if you're going to get me up on a Saturday morning, you might as well do it more often. Holler at your boy. We'll talk luggage.
Exactly.
Yeah, because Greeny has baggage. You don't even know.
Exactly. Well, keep your carry-ons close to the vest, man. Don't let them get away.
Who you telling? I'm going to put a handcuff on the next time.
Exactly.
Handcuff it to me and be like, hey. If you can get it, but knowing them, they'll be like, "That's all right. We got a machete. We'll give your hand back.
Just lop it off. Right. You'll get everything right back when you land. Maybe. All right, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime. We'll talk to you fellas later.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's ESPN golf reporter Michael Collins joining us.